Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Let's talk to David Abramson. He's a psychologist in a private practice. Help us to navigate this difficult world and talk about this app called Be Real. David, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Feldman. That was quite traumatic, that last piece of music.
But first, let me take a selfie.
I'm just taking some deep breaths here.
Right, absolutely. So we definitely live in selfie culture now. And I know the stats say that it's 23-year-olds is your median age of taking selfies, but I don't know if that's perfectly true. A lot of us older folk are taking selfies as well. But the problem, of course, being, and you and I have spoken about this before, is what we reflect on social media doesn't necessarily reflect the reality of the life that we are leading. Along comes this app called Be Real, and what that does is it apparently asks people, at the same time, it sends everybody the notification at the same time, and it gives them the instruction to take a selfie. Within 2 minutes, I've got to take a selfie. And what it does is it takes a picture with both the front and the back of the camera. So you could see the person and you can see what they're doing. And then they have to post it. And that is meant to make everything seem more real. Tell us about it. Give us the psychological version of this.
Well, I think it's a very bold attempt, and maybe if I can say a naive attempt, to try and maybe that sounds harsh, to try and reverse the very deep rabbit hole that we've gone down as a society, where absolutely things on the internet, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Instagram, are really not a reflection of reality. And I think this is kind of the kind of response to that, to say, hang on a second, you know, that's not what reality is. But I have my doubts about how successful it's going to be, because I think, you know, since forever, humans have always wanted to experience things outside of their daily lives, or watch people have extremes of emotions that they would experience, like anger and excitement. And we have that nature to compare our lives. But I think really, so we used to go to the Colosseum. Well, not me and you, but you used to go to the Colosseum. Hopefully not Howard. And, and you know, we watched chariot races, and then we you know, Shakespearean plays, and we went to the circus. We go to movies. You know,
so we wanted illusion. We wanted to not be fooled, but we deliberately got caught up in a world that wasn't our own.
Absolutely.
And we've always done that.
Absolutely. And we got our, you know, not to sound too neurological, but we got our dopamine release. And then we went about our day, and we knew that it was a limited period of time. And the people who we looked up to, who we idealized, well, firstly, we used our imagination very much, because we didn't know exactly what happened in their daily lives and every moment of the day and what they wore and where they went. So we had to use our imaginations. And the other thing is, we realized these were a limited amount of people in the world who we looked up to or we idolized. And now these days, the problem is that everyone can be a clown. Everyone can be an actor. Everyone can
a chariot driver.
Because we have our cell phones, and we have the facilities, the TikToks, the Facebooks, and Instagrams, and we all now have the ability to project what we want to. And I know it sounds harsh, but yes, it becomes like a PRO exercise, and people get sucked into it. As we know, people forget that this is not reality. You know, this is not really people's daily lives. And when we compare it to our own, then obviously the comparison is not a good one, you know. And then this feeling of, and so, you know, depression, anxiety, and we've seen this, that as social media has grown, we've seen a greater substantial increase in anxiety and depression in the world. I'm sure there are other factors we can talk about, but certainly I think studies are showing that this phenomenon is definitely creating a mental health crisis. So I do think, for me, and hope I'm not sounding unfair, but I think for me, this, people aren't going to look for reality. People are not looking for more reality. They're looking for more escapism. But it's gone too far.
Mm. So does that mean that even something like Be Real is not sustainable because we don't want to be real? And that's not what, it's not what's feeding us, this Be Real business.
Absolutely. And again, not to sound too negative, but I think we all get our dopamine hits now. You know, it's almost like a drug where we go and we, you know, we look at people online, and not only those the celebrities, and we look at it and we get our dopamine hit. Because we're not going to get a dopamine hit from seeing someone having, a normal life like us. You know, that's not going to change, anything for us in our perspective. It's not going to be entertainment, you know. So really, it's a very, very hard act to follow, you know, to choose whether you're going to look at someone who is, you know, doing their work or fetching the kids from school, because we all do that. Then looking at someone who is now overseas, or having something out of the ordinary that we don't experience, which again is unhealthy again, because again, those experiences are often not real and certainly not sustained. And then there's this misperception, as we know, you know, that our minds start to wonder and we quite naturally compare. So I don't think there was so much FOMO in ancient times as we had today,
right.
You know, and again, because it's also not natural to be able to monitor what our friends are doing and if we're missing out or not. So there's a lot of, it's not real. There's a lot of things that aren't real that are on the internet, and we can get lost in that, and we can imagine that it is. And it's not just the actors and the rugby players and the guys in the Coliseum. It's everyday people, and we're everyday people, so we're naturally going to compare ourselves.
And it's interesting because culture, popular culture, is also grappling with it when we try, where we see movie stars trying to show the normal and trying to show on Instagram how they just are regular people. But in fact, that's not even what we want from them. It's not what attracts us to them, but yet they have this need to connect on a normal level. So it is getting very, very confusing compared to the Marilyn Monroe days, where your superstar was your superstar, and she lived in another world of glamour.
I think what the celebrities are seeing is that, I think, two things. One is it's not sustainable for them to try and portray these lives of perfection. And I think they're also starting to see generally that how damaging it is, not only for them, but for their, you know, for the public to try and emulate what they are trying to project. So it is, and it's sad in some ways, as you say, Howard, it's such an interesting point, because in some ways, you know, we wanted to idealize, the actors and the actresses and the people in the spotlight. So in a way, it's kind of like, you know, it's sad because now we're seeing people who we do want to idealize actually saying, no, but we're normal people, which is very healthy.
Because it's not real either.
They're
pretending to be real, whereas we are real.
100%, and you can't, and there's no competition.
No.
You know, the idea of reality and the idea of what people project. But, you know, as I said earlier, I think for me that's the difficulty, is that our neighbors, our friends, can now become those entertainers, can now become those people we look up to. And that's very difficult because they're just like us. And, why are their lives so different to ours? So it does become...
Right. In other words, we don't compare ourselves to celebrities, because that's unattainable. Then that we don't expect to live that life. We're not chariot drivers. But if my next door neighbor is a chariot driver or shows himself to be that, then now we've got a problem, because why aren't I achieving that?
Absolutely. So I think this idea is it's a move in the right direction. But I do think for me it's really like, you know, emptying the ocean with a teaspoon, because I think very...
So what should we be doing? What should we be doing?
Well, I think for me, it's not about fighting technology. I think technology is unbelievable, and I think it's going to be with us forever. It's interesting. I actually had the privilege of sitting with a rabbi yesterday, and he was showing, he makes tefillin. And he was saying how he has a group online where, you know, rabbis and around the world who make tefillin, discuss you know, what you know, and compare and get advice from each other around how to make tefillin, what makes it kosher, what's not, and get advice. I mean, there are endless positive things that can happen. But so I do think for me, it's not about saying, right, we now need to take a step back. I think we need to embrace technology and we need to embrace social, you know, all these apps that are happening. But I think that just like any other drug, and I'm being very cautious, maybe if I compare it to a drug, it's really about education and awareness. So really about continuing, bug your children about, remind them, yes, it's a PRA exercise. Yes, you know, this is not real. And I do also think about creating meaning in our lives, you know, because I think that's ultimately what we're trying to do. We're trying to all kind of have some kind of meaning in our lives. And I think if we do have some kind of real meaning, some authentic goals, some authentic kind of activities in our lives, then I think for me, there's going to be less of a need to look to others to idealize.
David Abramson, a psychologist, talking to us about the Be Real app on social media.